There is a significant reduction in the congregation tonight because most people say, what have I got to do with cigarettes? I don't smoke. Well, it is not just for those who smoke, but for all people of God to understand. It may help you help somebody else. It is strange for us to sit here and think that there are thousands of people around the world in various countries cultivating a plant called the tobacco plant, harvesting its leaves, and thousands more will process this in factories. I don't know the process, but I believe it is quite intricate. And then process these leaves to be cut, to be rolled, to be packed, and to be made commercially beautiful, so that millions of people will buy and then stick it to their mouths and begin to inhale the toxic fumes. Do you know that in 7 seconds, what is inhaled goes to the brain already, in just 7 seconds. And of those who inhale these regularly, 1 in every 3 eventually will die from it and cut down their useful lives by at least 15 years. And yet people continue in this habit, all because it gives some pleasure, physical pleasure, some kind of euphoria and uplifting, so-called, of the mood, and people like it. And so once they get onto it, there is also the element of habituation, so that when a person who is already used to the cigarette smoke is denied the weed and the poison, he cannot do with it, and there's a craving, and that begins a life of addiction. A brother of mine, the one between the late Timothy and myself, that is my second brother, left us in 1941 to study in Hong Kong, and the Japanese came. And so for 4 years, we had not a news about him, nothing. When he came back, having lived an adventurous and turbulent life under the Japanese, having trekked overland from Hong Kong to Chongqing, somewhere along the line, I've never asked him, but he came back with a habit of cigarette smoking, which we almost never knew because he didn't smoke in public, only with his friends, and especially when he plays golf. I never knew that golf and cigarettes go together quite well. So, now that's only the beginning of the story. About 1990s, or in the late 80s, he came from Penang, and what for? He was found to have cancer in the lungs. And that took, of course, every available medical aid came to help him diagnose, to find the best consultant, all his colleagues, some of them are his old classmates, begin to treat one fellow doctor. That's what he was, by the way. And it took 4 years of all kinds of methods to try and save a life too late. Does it help others who know it that whatever you do, 1 in 3 is going to perish because of the smoke? It does not. If there are, they are so few and far between. When I was 3 or 4, I used to be my father's tobacco carrier. We live in Sanai. Now, these stories give you some idea of what it can do to people. Whenever he likes, he likes fishing, and you can read it in my memoirs, the footprints. Xiang Hua come along, and so I carry his paraphernalia, how to make a cigarette. And his cigarettes were hand-rolled. And then when he gets to the place of his choice to fish, he also fishes with a cigarette in his mouth. That went on. Oftentimes he will regret and try to stop with resolution, with all kinds of promises to God, but never succeeded. 20 years. Devoting time and energy and money to spoil your health. Can you imagine it? Eventually, Dr. John Sung came from China. And in the first meeting, when the Spirit of God worked, how I pray for those days to return, that you may also have a savor, an experience of something which is out of this world. When Dr. Sung preached against sin, every kind of sin, known, unknown, big and small, every kind of sin came under the searchlight of the Word of God. And on the very first day, Father stood up with the rest, many of them, repented, and publicly he confessed his sin of smoking. That evening, to return home, he brought up all his pipes, cigarette lighters, raw cigarette, roll cigarette. In those days, Rough Rider is no longer today. Today is 3-5s and Marlboro that I think are quite popular. I don't know, but this is what we see sometimes. And the whole lot went up in a bonfire. And that was the end. So we praise God for that. Why do people smoke? You know, we are born in sin. And in as much as we, made in the image of God, choose to do the things against our Maker, who have given us a body, whether Christian or non-Christian, that is another matter. For any human being to willfully poison his own body, as I said, the moment you light up, within 7 seconds is in the brain already. And then you feel euphoric. So wonderful! Suddenly I'm uplifted. And I feel a new person. And this goes on. Why do people do it? Answer, because of the fallen nature in us. That we do not choose to do the things that are God-honoring and God-fearing, and to help us to serve God better. Does the cigarette help you to serve God better? In no way. No way. How can 1/3 of smokers end up in the grave 15 years before their time, be a witness for God? In what way can it be? So this is the problem we are talking about tonight. I have a few OHPs which are quite illuminating. Can you imagine that every year the whole of the population of Singapore died because of cigarettes? Is equivalent to all the men and women living on this island, 5 million. In terms of rapidity and rate of death, it is, as we talk here, every 6 seconds or so, one person dies. Can you imagine it?
From the time I talked till now, maybe a few hundred people already dead from cigarette smoking. And you sit here and fold our arms and we're not touched or moved or anything, are we? But when you sit back and if it is your relative, you think. It is the number one cause of death and disability in the world today, number one. And yet people, respectable people, promote it so that more of their fellow worldlings, earth creatures, will smoke it, burn it, and burn up their own health and die. Now, thank God you are here, because it concerns you whether you smoke or not smoke. Because it is the passive smoking that is also a problem. What do you mean by passive smoking? Smoking secondhand. My lab technician's husband, but mother, the father smokes, she doesn't. And one day she came and told us, mother has got lung cancer. Oh, did she smoke? No, never touched a cigarette. Ah, does your father smoke? Yes. This is a problem. This is called passive or second-hand smoking. Many years ago, to go on an international flight was one of the tortures you have to accept, because you're enclosed in the cockpit or in the aircraft. If it is 7 hours to Sydney, you sit there and there is a compartment for smokers. You do not smoke, but the cigarette smoke comes through the whole plane. Today, no longer. Today, World Health Organization has informed all the aircraft companies, airlines, it is a crime for you to enclose people in a closed compartment called the aircraft and for 7 hours poison their lungs. And 10% of them will get cancer of the lungs. Why should we subject ourselves to this kind of sickness and sadness? So, thank God today no longer. No aircraft is going to fly with smokers in it. And it is accepted. In the beginning, people resist. Quietly, they go to the toilet to smoke. But technology put in smoke detectors. And immediately this alarm goes and then they're caught. Number four, one in three smokers die sooner or later. And because many do not die, many live to a long old age. And when you ask him, hey, tell me your secret of long life, he says, well, I smoke every day 10 cigarettes. And they say, oh, so good, Chairman Mao smoked, and he lived till so old, so good, let us smoke. Firstly, you are not Chairman Mao, and every man is different. Please understand, today we have found there is such a thing as immune system. Certain people lack that immunity against nicotine. Certain people have it, certain people do not have it, and actually it can be traced to the DNA in the cells. Now we don't tell those who are smoking, they go and find out. Number five, chief causes of death, lung cancer. You show them the lung cancer, does it impress them? They say, well, too bad. And heart attack. So these are the things. Nicotine toxicity is somewhat like caffeine. Caffeine is contained in tea and coffee and certain other beverages. And it gives you a certain kind of alertness. You feel good, you feel stronger in the mental capacity. And so people like it. and cigarette smoke contains that quality, and you feel good. However, because of its addictive power, what do you mean by addictive? You stop it today, you've been smoking for a whole week, you feel out of sorts. Something is missing. You can't think properly. You can't do your work properly. Ah, what's happening? Ah, I missed that cancer stick. I must have it back. So that is addictive, poisoning power. And it is hard to kick that habit. That means you cannot let go. You want to let go, but it won't let you go. It comes back to you. And to maintain that pleasurable effect, you smoke more. And you smoke more than before, because it gives you now pleasure. Only if you add to the smoking, you're used to one cigarette in an hour, now you've got to take maybe two cigarettes in an hour. What is the solution? I don't know. If I know, I'll tell you. But I think the best thing is, don't start. Once you start, it's hard to stop. And nowadays, I observe, I think most people agree, more young girls than young boys take to cigarette smoking. Is that true? Seems to be so. You go walk in the streets of Singapore. Young girls nowadays, so stylish, up to the date. Whatever it is, now just a word on passive smoking. Second-hand smoking. You don't have to pay, you know, so good. Other smoke I smell. And it goes through, I also enjoy. I can assure you, I don't enjoy it. In fact, years ago, I thought I'd give it a try. The first puff was so awful, the second puff was even worse. I threw it away. No use. Thank God for giving that inbuilt aversion, hatred of this toxic, noxious, awful, revolting thing called cigarette. Smokers, take note. Non-smokers, maybe your wife, maybe your family, are at risk. So that one fine day you wake up and say, I'm so well, I'm still smoking. But somebody else in the house has been found to have lung cancer. To those who are pregnant, please, if you're a smoker, stop it. Because on the unborn baby, there are terrible effects. Effects that cause defects in the baby to be born. And then you will regret it forever and ever that you gave birth to a defective child because you smoked. And the very young are at risk. Born already, if they're exposed to cigarette smoke, they get all kinds of sicknesses, very hard to get rid of. So why? Why smoke? And the main target of this nicotine is lungs, lung cancer, brain, addiction, and eventually all kinds of degenerative conditions. Once I went to a hospital, I was very amused with a little slogan on the table. It is provoking, to provoke people to think, how to cure cancer? Ah, very easy, let them die. So this is to provoke people to think, why smoke? Because eventually, you say, I'm the lucky one. I'm the two-thirds that escape the sentence of cancer of the lung. One-third will get, I'm so happy, I'm the two-thirds. Don't be so sure. But there are other things besides just cancer of the lung.
Tonight looks like it's a half day for us. There's nothing more to talk about lung cancer and smoking. Anyhow, let's turn to the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. There is good reason, dear friends, why a Christian ought not to expose his body to this noxious, toxic material called nicotine. By the way, I did not mention, I'll tell you now to supplement. Nicotine contains 60 carcinogens. A carcinogen is a chemical compound that causes cancer to form. And cigarette smoke contains more than 60 of them. You try to dodge one, there are 59 more coming after you. This is a problem. It is a very powerful carcinogenic agent. Now, should any Christian poison his own body? Answer is, of course not. First of all, when you come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to give your body to Him. For He has saved you. For a purpose, He does not save you to wreck your own body and to destroy it. That would be unthinkable. For my Lord has saved me for a purpose. Think about this, dear friends. What are you doing for the Lord? Why waste your talents, your time, your energies, your abilities? Are they put to His use for His glory, in order that some, because of you, may come to salvation? Are you thinking of that? Instead of, how can I enjoy myself? Can I have that drink? Even if people see me, why? Will I lose my salvation? My pastor says you will not lose your salvation. So let me yam sing and enjoy life. I said no. Remember how you became a Christian. Verse 19 says, what? Why are you thinking of wanting to have a drink? Why are you thinking of having a smoke and a puff? Why? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? That causes you to stop and think. Truly, if my Lord did not go to Calvary, and my Sunday school teacher did not tell me, I thank God that He did. And I have received the Lord Jesus Christ because I've heard the gospel. Isn't that true with all of us here? And because of the gospel, I come to know a Savior who purchased me at a great price that I may live for Him. How do I live for Him if instead of living to a good old age, serving Him actively, promoting the gospel, now I'm in a hospital bed nursing a cancer in the lung? And do you know, by the way, one of the most difficult to cure is lung cancer. One of the most difficult. I speak this from the experience of my own brother. All kinds of chemotherapy, one shot, $1,500, one shot. And you go for one and more and more and more. And do you recover? Oh, the radiologist said, better. The lesion is smaller. Wow. Hooray, I'm going to recover. You're going to recover. After 4 years, you still crook. Dear friends, why expose your body? Paul the Apostle says, what? Do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you? You cannot be a child of God except the Holy Spirit comes to you and changes you and lives in you and confirms that you are a child of God. You should therefore live for God. Do you know that? When we know this, why should I smoke? Why should I drink? There is no meaning to it, no sense. I am a child of God. Say this to yourself. I am a child of God. Therefore, I will give my life back to Him, a living sacrifice. This is what Paul says. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren and sisters, that you present your bodies back to Him. Lord, you have died for me. Let me live for you. Reasonable? Absolutely. Why smoke then? No need to. Don't. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God. The moment you came to hear the gospel and you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit indwells you. And let Him guide you, guard you, bless you every day. Show you where you can do something for others, that they will be grateful to you, that you cause them to open their eyes and turn to the Savior. Are you doing that? Rather than thinking of, how can I drink more? How can I smoke more? Terrible things. Why? This is what Paul asked. What do you not know? From tonight you cannot say, I don't know. Because we all have gone through this. Verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Your purchase. The ransom was paid when Jesus, our Savior, went to the cross at great price. Think of Him in Garden of Gethsemane. How He agonized. He says, Father, I don't want it. Why should I die? In the flesh. It is a terrible thought. But when I remember, it is your will that I might die for all the sinners that ever committed all the sins from the beginning of creation till the end of creation. Jesus, at the Garden of Gethsemane, determined, made up His mind that He will go through that awful, awful crucifixion inflicted on Him for your sake, for my sake, that you and I may live this life assured that there is a great reward coming. And how do we live that life? Why, dear friends, consider. Do you not know? Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God lives in you. And He wants you to be a glory to the Father. Do you know that? If you did not know, tonight you know. And be grateful because Jesus has done it for you. Verse 20, we are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. We are not our own. Therefore we must not harm this body, whether it is with alcohol or with nicotine. Amen. Now just while we have the time, please turn to the epistle of 2 Peter. Remember Peter? Do you remember him? What do you remember for? Oh, I know Peter denied the Lord twice, isn't it? Three times. Oh, yes. Don't excuse him for one time. It's three times. Peter denied the Lord. But then the Lord Jesus used him. He said, that's a risky business, isn't it? Yes. But Jesus converted him, prayed for him. And Peter never forgot the way he let down his Savior. And three times he promised, I will love you to the very end. Let us follow his example tonight. Has the Lord not forgiven us of all our sins? I say, yes. What have you done to repay that great work He has done for you? Even if you live the whole life 10 times over, going the everywhere He wants you to go, to the ends of the earth, preaching the gospel, living for Him, suffering for Him, you still cannot repay adequately. There is no way you can ever repay adequately. So what must we do? Remind ourselves, the Lord has brought me back to Himself. My body, therefore, should be lived for Him. Can you do it? Can I do it? Of course. Are we doing it? It's up to you. Now let's see what Peter wants to tell us tonight. It's so good to have Peter because, you know, he is a man of his word. Learn to be like Peter. 3 times the Lord says, "Do you love me, Peter?" Peter says, "Yes." 2nd time, "Yes." 3rd time, Peter was grieved. "Lord, why 3 times? Of course, he didn't say so, but this was implied. I said, "Dear friends, if the Lord has saved you, He doesn't need to ask you 3 times. We know it. He wants you to be a good servant for Him. Go and be a servant. Go and happily, willingly. Not all the time thinking how I can enjoy my life. Whether it is with this or that other thing, those useless things, let them go. And consider tonight why I ought to live for Jesus. Because He died for me. I cannot die for anybody. I cannot die for myself. I deserve to die, but He saved me that I need not die. And therefore I live not for myself anymore, but for Him who loved me and gave Himself for me." Verse 4. 2 Peter 1:4. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, because my Lord deigned to come down at Christmas time to be born and to live as a man and to show me how I should live as a man. Therefore, I thank Him for the fact that because I have come into the family of Jesus Christ, I am part of the recipients of the great blessings He promises to all who believe in Him. Exceeding precious promises of a home in heaven, an inheritance incorruptible, imperishable, reserved in heaven for you." That's what you have. These are the promises. These are precious. That by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, yes? Remember that it was God the Father who chose you, God the Son who ransomed you, and God the Holy Spirit who sealed you, who lives in you, who helps you every day, the Comforter who strengthens you for what? To live for His glory. Not to destroy your own body with nicotine. No point. "Having escaped the corruption which is in the world through lust." Yes, the world is not interested in your salvation. It cannot be. The world is under the control of the prince of this world, and the world is only out to ensnare, to trap you, to do you down, to make you become part of the world, and to be part of the perishing, those who know not the Lord Jesus Christ. You know Him? Live for Him. Verse 5, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance." Ah, this is what it is, temperance. Self-control. Don't give in simply because other people say so, your friends say so, even your husband or wife says it is good. He says, "Nope. If it is not according to God's will, if it is going to destroy my health, if it is going to poison my body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, I will not do it." Make that your resolve. To temperance, patience, to patience, godliness. Ah, you ever prayed God to make you godly? Please do. Add on to your prayer list. Pray. And when you pray in faith, God will do it. Change your character to to be a godly person, so much better than trying to be up to date with the times and the fashions in town. To godliness, add brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, charity. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, may we consider the words of Holy Scripture and the promises of God that we will not be unfruitful or barren, who have been purchased by the wonderful precious blood of Jesus. May your Holy Spirit indwell, provoke us to love and to good works. So Lord, bless your people who have come tonight, who have taken the special time off, the special trouble to come to the house of the Lord, knowing that this is the house of blessing, the house of the Lord, the house of prayer, the house where the Savior meets with us. May the grace, mercy, and peace of God now attend our ways. In Jesus' name, Amen.